The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you in a Saturday morning. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, and excited to be joined. Greg Smith of Greg Ethan Smith is, well, he's doing a solid for TJ because Greg's a good dude, producing this morning.
Oh, man, I thought things were going a little bit better this morning, and now I know why. Kidding.
No, TJ left a note telling me to go somewhere. And spin based on the dorm room comments yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. If you missed it yesterday, see TJ and Brandon Kinney are best friends.
They are.
Former Husker wide receiver, at least according to TJ.
Yes.
Brandon doesn't know that. and they got reunited on air.
But he played it well.
We showed Brandon a picture when he joined us at the Hail Varsity tailgate. Like this guy. This guy says hi to you.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah. And but he's kind of looking to the side, like, I think. You know, that's right. Okay. TJ's a good man.
Yep.
But that's good that the show will go better today. Thanks for sitting in, Greg.
Yeah, good stuff. Greg's like, can we get this thing done? Okay. Let's talk a little bit here about the theme this week with Nebraska getting past Ohio State and waiting for Minnesota. The Gophers, you know what they're about. They don't let you run. They love to run it. Their quarterback's been maddening to their fan base. He's been there since 1976.
My God.
So
yeah, he's older than his dad.
He might be. The thing you have in this week with the uncertainty at quarterback, but the mantra's been move on. Just move on. And let's touch on that for a little bit here to start off, Kranak. Can join us this morning if you're up and about getting ready for coffee. We know it's a night game, but we're getting the thing kicked off, Nebraska-Minnesota extra early here on Hail Varsity Radio. 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. And on the ESPN 1480 app, you can stream us. It's actually working today, so that's a good thing. So moving on, easier said than done, Kranak, or do you have pretty good faith that this team will be able to do so? The one thing that you've been able to count on this year with Nebraska, whether they've won, whether they have won ugly, whether they played a good game, and I think you kind of have to go back to their best football being that Oregon Northwestern back-to-back setting in the latter part of September, and then the injuries kind of kicked in, and the run game kind of went downhill, not intentionally, just based on some of the injuries and playing better competition that stacks up against the run. This team needs to move on defensively. This team needs to move on and get back to that physical mindset they had. And from an offensive standpoint, Riley nailed it earlier in the week. You know, you find some identity runs. A couple that you go to can lean on that will get you 3 to 4 to 5. So it's not all on your quarterback, not all on your O-line. And it's not all on the passing game to make some big plays to get you any points. I mean, it's been a long time since you've had those 12 plays, 75, 80-yard drives to get in the end zone. It was sparse against Wisconsin, which you knew would be the case, and it didn't exist against Ohio State. Nebraska got 3, and then they got shut out a couple of times when they got in the red zone. So do you feel good about this team moving on, specifically the psyche? You've got a theory as to what went down last Saturday night. Not to recap too much, but it's going to be hard to get moved forward. That said, this team's shown the ability because they've been through everything this 2016 season.
Yeah, I don't feel very good about today at all. And
is it more the opponent or is it more Nebraska?
A little bit. I mean, it's the combination, but I don't understand. It feels like this week, despite all the mounting evidence to suggest otherwise, that fans are feeling somehow confident and that, oh, good, you're right. Okay. We got that blowout out of the way. Cool. Now we're going to start blocking people. All right. Good, good. Now Tommy's going to start throwing well, even though he didn't practice all week.
Right.
The trend lines since Northwestern, especially offensively, are troubling. They're not good. Nebraska's offensive production has been deteriorating over the past month, and it finally bottomed out last week. I don't know that that means now you expect that to be some springboard to better offensive line play, for instance. Is it going to be better? Is everybody's better now?
Well, I think you can drift towards confidence on the O-line solely because of this. It's just one guy, but Tanner Farmer really helps things out at that right guard spot.
Of course he does.
Conrad's going to get the start at right tackle. He played pretty decent last week. So you have that.
Kavanaugh's right, high on him. Yeah.
Right. So you have the right side that didn't look like it last week, but.
Yeah, like 6 days, 7 days ago.
7 days ago, but it wasn't Farmer at right guard.
He's been hobbled.
Right. You're going to have DJ Foster get some snaps today at left guard.
What, 15, 20?
But that's better than none. And that 15 to 20 could be 30 to 40 by the time you get to Iowa or more. And then there's thoughts that, you know, Gates is maybe healing up a little bit better. So you haven't seen Nebraska full strength since Northwestern. That
makes sense.
There's that other side of it that, hey, if they are at 100%, or let's just say at this point in the year, Big Ten play, say you're at a solid 75%, that's the difference in finishing off some drives. That's the difference in having a fourth quarter. Minnesota's much different than Illinois, but just walk with me here. It's the difference in having some of those strong fourth quarters is the health and the ability to execute some of those identity runs. Now, what the identity runs been the quarterback run game, and that's another question with, you know, Tommy's availability. We both think he'll go today, but
these guys haven't cracked 200 yards rushing since Illinois on October 1st. Here's their last four opponent run totals: 152, 157, 152, 78. But now they're going to explode against Minnesota because it's been a miraculous healing week.
Defied explode. What?
It just feels a lot more like wishful thinking than it does reality.
Well, and to be honest, your point is pretty on target with who's gonna line up and run for two Bills against Minnesota. But
nobody's done it this
Ohio
year.
Ohio State nobody's, and nobody's, Michigan is the answer.
Nobody's run for 180 on Minnesota. But yet Nebraska, because again it had a miraculous healing week along the offensive line, is
Mr. Miyagi was in. Didn't you read this?
Nebraska's lucky to get a buck 50 on the ground today. Lucky to get a buck 50 on the ground. And in the air, who knows? Tommy did not practice this week. And do we want to go back to see how Tommy's done passing wise?
49%, yeah.
It's not been good, man. Like, look, the team has overcome a lot, like emotionally, mentally, obviously. But I don't think we can, with a straight face, say that they have played good football.
They have.
You know what I'm saying?
They have
haven't played good football. Well-rounded football.
But they have done enough, is what I'm saying. They have done enough, be it against Indiana. They did enough on third down against Wisconsin. They did enough in the fourth quarter against the Illini, and I know we're – listen, I'm couching every Illini-Purdue comment with it's Illinois and it's Purdue. That said, you still did it. And when the run game wasn't going against Purdue, they went up top to their studs. They went up top to their best skill group, and they made plays to get the win. Ohio State didn't let that happen, obviously, last weekend. So Nebraska's manufactured points, if the run game's not there, or if they hit a run play or two, they've just kind of taking it and run. No better way to describe it. But what's bailed him out has been the passing game and the big plays that have gone with.
Yeah, now listen to that. All right, let's go last four games.
What's Minnesota give up? Oh, yeah, big plays downfield.
Well, okay, but let's go back. Let's see how good Nebraska has been throwing the ball. Indiana, 10 of 26.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, Purdue, 17 of 31. That's the only 50-plus percent percentage game in the last four. Wisconsin, 12 of 31. This is just Tommy, by the way. And then Ohio State, he was 4 of 15 before he went out with that injury.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the offense is sputtering mightily right now. Mightily. And I think the roots of it, of course, has been lackluster offensive line play.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree on that. There hasn't been a lot of there haven't been running lanes, and there hasn't been a lot of time for Tommy. I just don't believe. Prove me wrong, man. I hope it's different. I just don't believe that all of a sudden this week is the week where all the ankles on the O-line are starting to feel good. Finally. Right? Like Tanner Farmer had he's lucky he didn't break his leg.
I know.
Or tear up his knee. I mean, his ankle got torn up, man. Neville's ankle screwed up. Gates' ankle screwed up. You know, and everybody's talking about DJ Foster like, hey, everything's going to be better now. The dude has like never played.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's a starter, or he was going to be the starter coming in, and I know he earned that. I know he has talent. I know he was highly regarded. He has next to zero experience. Next to zero.
Okay.
He's played like a couple
snaps. So you've made a very strong case as to why it's not just going to be all sunshine and lollipops offensively, trend-wise, production-wise, result-wise on offense.
Against a salty team that turns people over.
Right. So I look at the beer being half full here with Nebraska and the fact they found a way to get about 17 points or better a game aside from last weekend. They have just kind of found a way. Now, let's look at the other side of the ball. What's kept Nebraska in games, again, the outlier being last Saturday? Who stepped up? Who's carried the water? It's been the defense. That's the other side of this question when we look at Minnesota and Nebraska and moving on. Defense got to move on because they just got 62 hung on them, half 100
plus
12.
Yeah, where's their confidence at?
Well, I think their confidence will be better because they've played and beaten Minnesota. There is a little comfort in the fact that, well, you're playing a very good football team that is going to beat the hell out of you. It isn't going to be Ohio State.
No, it's not. But look, Minnesota's also they're sort of that. I don't know what the best way to compare them would be, but they're sort of like they're like that tough out. You know what I mean? They're that pitcher. They're that batter that fouls off like seven pitches every at bat.
You know what I mean? You're an Atlanta guy. I would go Mark Lemke.
There you go. Right, but you know what I'm saying? They're just tough to deal with in every single phase. Now, they're not amazing in every single phase.
Because you're talking them up like they're, you know, they have maroon and white on their helmet.
Well, listen.
They do, actually. they're all tied side.
A little bit of gold in there, too. No, but they're, you know what I'm saying. They're a tough out. They're a consistent bunch. They lead the conference in turnover margin.
Yeah, plus 21.
Mm-hmm. And then if you're an offense like Nebraska that's been struggling so much, you probably have to take a few more risks just to move the ball,
mm-hmm.
just to move it. I don't like the looks and the sounds of this one. Prove it wrong, but I do not get where the confidence of like, okay, well, I got that one out of the way, and now Nebraska is going to get back on track. Like,
the
against these guys, really?
The reality has been with
Minnesota's coming in. By the way, Chris, Minnesota controls their own destiny.
I understand. Yeah, they
the West.
They can
you don't
win.
Think those dudes are going to come out swinging.
Absolutely, they win today. They can still drop Northwestern next week, and it's for all the cheese curds and juicy Lucy's. The final weekend of the year against their rival Wisconsin. the thing that's been interesting, and by now, this a lot of the seniors, there's 17 of them on this roster for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. They've been through it enough to know what to expect the final three games, because every year in the Big Ten, Nebraska's schedule has kind of closed like a freight train. Either you're getting a Wisconsin, you know you're getting Iowa, and another physical opponent's been in there. And a lot of times, three of the last 4 years, it's been your close has been Minnesota. Excuse me, it's been Wisconsin, it's been Minnesota, it's been Iowa. And at that point in the year, you're just ragged. Nebraska, mm-hmm. with the exception of the 2012 season, hasn't closed well in November. They just haven't. And it's been some of these other teams Nebraska fans want to feel they're better than. The Minnesotas of the world I'm talking about, the Iowas of the world I'm talking about, where Nebraska's not been physical enough to get the job done.
Yep.
I think they reverse course. I think they dig deep. I'm not cliche man today. I honestly just think it's a pride thing as much as anything. And you don't want to be looking in the mirror Sunday morning about how you got whooped by Minnesota. And that's not a knock on Minnesota, but there's a time to kind of stand up and just finish it out. You move on from the mental damage and the physical damage of last weekend, and you have a chance to go out night game, have some energy, and trudge towards 10-2, trudge towards still at least being force Minnesota, force Wisconsin to win out, to eliminate you. I mean, there's some pride. There's a huge pride factor that's going to kick in tonight. Don't disagree with the way the offense is trending. Don't disagree with how beat up the O-line is. But I think Nebraska can get
where was that pride last weekend? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're counting on it. I'm just saying it just sounds wishful.
Oh, it sounds wishful. It does. It does. There's
as
no,
opposed to like based in like there's like, no what there's are your no eyes
substance.
Telling you? What
is there's no substance behind a 7-point favorite today, other than you're at home, you're Nebraska, you have better athletes, you have better players.
I wouldn't say remarkably so.
No, but enough to that should give you an edge on a November night at home.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, maybe I'm discounting that a little bit. Nebraska at night at home,
working on 19 straight,
pretty damn good, right? Like, yeah, I get that. But where's the energy at in the crowd, right? Like, you think of a lot of these games. You know, Michigan State came in last year following the Purdue loss, and mm-hmm. you know, that place was all jazzed up, and Michigan State's highly ranked. You know, it's quite the atmosphere.
Don't discount. Where's
the atmosphere going to be today against a Minnesota team that doesn't necessarily stir up emotions quite like a Michigan State would, or a program of, you know, top 15, top 10 stature?
You'll need
would.
To start tailgating early and create your own energy, Red Bull, and whatever else you like. Now, I think this too. Don't discount the fact that Nebraska seemed to be able to neutralize Leidner a year ago. I know he threw for a ton of yards, but it didn't matter. They were down by 20. Nebraska has been able to neutralize the Minnesota rushing attack. And I know Vince and Malik are on Sundays now, but this D-line's played pretty well. This defense as a group has played pretty well. The other side of that, though, is how dinged the linebackers are for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. They're going to be playing wounded a bit, but again, it's big boy football time. It's the month of November, and it's a chance to put Goldie down. And you're expected to do that, not just by Vegas, but by the Nebraska fan base. This is how big this game is it can dramatically shift. As bad as you felt about the Ohio State loss, you felt good about the Wisconsin close loss. You drop to Minnesota, and the whole temperature of the season turns. I truly believe that. Because now you're on a three-game losing streak. You're sputtering to the finish versus starting out 7-0. And what a vast contrast it will be.
Yeah.
There's
it's a must-win.
No, completely.
Nebraska's favored the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all know, we have enough proof now to know that line is so thin.
It is.
The line between... I don't mean the offensive line, but I guess I could. but the line between Nebraska and the remaining opponents You know, people act like Iowa's. Oh, and then you'll beat Iowa. Like,
no, that's not
those games
at
have
all.
Been tight, man. It doesn't even matter really what records are. Mm-hmm. That's to me, that is a legit rivalry. We can get into that later, but
sure.
You know, you're closing your year with those guys every single year, and there are no blowouts happening in that series. I guess a couple years ago, Iowa came in and smoked Nebraska, but for the most part, those are one possession games.
They are, and this time of the year, you're doing enough to win, and you're outlasting your opponent. Right. Who's more physical today? Mark Kranach, Chris Schmidt, Greg Smith is in producing. We are less than an hour away from Brandon Vogel. Mike Grimm going to join us. He's the play-by-play man. A rewind with Mike Grimm, play-by-play man of Minnesota. I want to remind you, safe driving. Demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska. Alcohol-related, many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. A quick time out. Our conversation with Mike Grimm, play-by-play man of Minnesota, next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up and preview Minnesota with play-by-play man of the Gophers, Mike Grimm, with us. Mike, first time having you on the show. Thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Doing great and looking forward to coming down to Lincoln this weekend. It's always, quite honestly, it's my favorite football trip since the Huskers got into the league in the Big Ten. All the Husker fans are always so great, and it's just a great stadium and such tradition. So we're looking forward to it.
You know, Minnesota's playing outstanding football, four straight wins, and both losses extremely close. You led at halftime against Penn State, didn't finish drives, but were right there against Iowa. Can you point to one thing or another as to what's kind of flipped for Minnesota since Big Ten play started with that 0-2 mark to where you're at now?
Yeah, I'm not sure a lot has changed, Chris. I think that, you know, a few things have gone their way. Honestly, the schedule got a little easier. I mean, Iowa and Penn State, particularly Iowa at the time, was playing a little better. They've kind of slid downhill a little. But Penn State, at the time, no one was aware of just how good they might be. If they look good against the Gophers, and they haven't lost since. And, of course, we know what they've done the last couple of weeks. So, honestly, you go from those two teams, and then you hit what I would call a softer portion of the schedule, and the Gophers have taken advantage of that. One at Maryland, they won at Illinois, and then two home wins in that four-game win streak with a win last week against Purdue, and then a nip-and-tuck game against Rutgers. It was a little closer than people thought, but that's part of it. This is a team, Chris, it's kind of one that wins ugly. They don't have a lot of flashy playmakers on offense, and so they kind of got to grind it out. You know, they're averaging over 30 points a game kind of with that style, so I think it's been impressive from that standpoint. Their defense has been very, very solid.
Some say ugly, some, like me, say physical. That's how Minnesota wins. And this series has been extremely close. Nebraska surprised many a year ago by winning in Minneapolis. Minnesota, though, has a win in Lincoln 2 years ago. They won the previous year, and that series is 3-2. Why do you think Minnesota's been so successful? Because if you go on paper, which it's crazy to do, but if you look at the discrepancies when it comes to rankings and talent, and Minnesota's really kind of got up for Nebraska. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's an exciting game, because you're playing one of the cachet programs, and Minnesota has had some guys. I mean, it is a different perception, I guess. Minnesota recruits more toward fit, style, and targeting certain guys that they think will fit and develop long term, and that's probably a little different than how Nebraska can go about it and maybe be a little more choosy. But when that's all said and done, some of those guys that Minnesota has tabbed that, hey, we think they can develop into good players, when they do develop into good players, it balances the playing field a little bit. The game that they won 2 years ago was good, kind of one of those ugly kind of wins, the way that if they win this weekend down there would have to be a similar kind of thing where they're going to, get sloppy and down and dirty, try to get some yards and then on the ground. And then when they can, occasionally play action, you can hopefully suck in a defense and make a play here and there. But I don't know the full answer. I mean, Minnesota's been pretty good. They're a 5-year straight now bowl eligible, and You know, they're kind of at that point now. They think that, you know, obviously this last three-game stretch for them, maybe it puts them into some uncharted waters here if they can have some success over the last 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, a chance to end up in Indy for Minnesota if you close strong. Nebraska needs help. What were you expecting transition-wise with Coach Clay's? Were you worried about the transition? I know they've been together for decades, but it's still Kill. This blueprint's been phenomenal, and it's not him, but it's kind of in his likeness. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the logistics of it, in other words, the culture of the program, how they practice, how they lift weights, all of that stuff, schedule, you know, when they practice, how hard they work, all of that has all stayed the same. They've changed a little offensively, schematically. They have a new offensive coordinator and a new quarterbacks coach, so that's changed a little. And a new offensive line coach. But from any kind of a stylistic thing, for the basic part, they're what Jerry Kill built. That's what they're doing. That said, Tracy Clay stylistically, as a public figure and as the head coach, is different. He doesn't have the experience. You know, Kill had been a head coach for 23 seasons, and this is Tracy's now. You know, he's in the middle of basically one calendar year. You know, last week marked one calendar year, 2 weeks ago, I guess. So he's been a head coach for 54 weeks. And so I think that was a transition, that, hey, oh, all of a sudden you got a radio show this week, and all of a sudden you got to speak to the Rotary Club, and all of a sudden the Goal Line Club has something, and now the Big Ten wants you to show up there, and all that stuff that Jerry Kill did, Tracy Glaze was finding out, oh, man, there's a lot going on here as a head coach. And so I think that was the biggest transition. And then slowly getting the guys to, because they all love Kill, like everybody loved Kill, they all would run through a wall for him. And so all of a sudden when he's gone, and an assistant coach who has been very effective but had kind of been, you know, second fiddle, so to speak, the first lieutenant, when he becomes in charge, at some point it has to become his program. I think it has done that, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't think there were a couple of growing pains here and there in regard to just having that hammer. You know, I mean, it was Kill's program and people knew it. And Clay's, because of, you know, he hasn't been the head coach for a while, ever, had to kind of grow into that spot. But I think they're at a point now, 7-2, people are believing, the team's believing, and they're at a point where now they'll run through a wall for him.
What were your expectations this year for Mitch Leidert? Has he lived up to them?
Well, he has been up and down, I'll be quite honest. You know, he has had a concussion, so he had to sit out. I think that also impacted him when he played maybe a week or two later. His weaponry on the outside, KJ May was a security blanket last year. Brandon Lingan is a tight end who has barely played this year. He was going to be, I thought, their most clutch pass catcher, and he hasn't played but just a handful of plays because of a shoulder, a collarbone, and then a leg injury. So it's been a combination of things there. So I think it hasn't all been on him, but I also think that maybe folks, including me, were expecting that he would take that next step as a fifth-year senior. Statistically, you look at it, it's not impressive. It's fine, but it's not, you know, the numbers aren't popping off the page. And I also think this weekend, the weekend after that, and the weekend after that, when you got Northwestern and Wisconsin on the schedule, at some point he's going to have a big game through the air, because there's no doubt Minnesota wants to be a running team, and that means, you know, those other teams are going to try to shut that part down. And if they do that and bring an extra man in the box or whatever, if the Gophers are going to pull off an upset Saturday night or against Wisconsin in 3 weeks or even next week against the Northwestern, Leidner is going to have a big day, at least one of those games, I think, you know, to offset anybody trying to stop the run. So he's got the skill set. He can run. He ran well last week, and I think he's finally fully back and feeling comfortable, has his legs under him. So we'll see what the final 3 weeks hold. But I think there's more in the tank there, and I think Gopher fans are hoping that they see it here.
Let's talk about your running game. Rodney Smith is incredible. Shannon Brooks, I always, when I watch him run, he reminds me of Rex Burkhead, that yep. Dodgerish style of power and being able to be elusive. And the O-line's been tremendous, at least when you look at the numbers put up. And with Smith, A, who does he remind you of? And B, what's his best asset? What makes him special?
You know, this is probably too simple because they're not physically alike, but they're what he does reminds me of what David Cobb did for the Gophers a few years ago. And it's this again. Stylistically, they're not the same, so it's going to sound like a weird comparison. But results wise, I think they're the same. And that Cobb wasn't necessarily a guy that when you gave him the ball was going to go 75 yards for a touchdown or even 65 or 45. But when the offensive line didn't give you a hole and it was going to be minus two, somehow he'd figure out a way to make it plus one. And if it's a 4 yard gain, all of a sudden he'd make it a 7 yard gain. And it doesn't sound like much. But all of a sudden, when you do that, you know, two out of every three carries and you end up with 25 carries, instead of 60 yards, you got 100 yards. You know, it adds up and it moves the sticks and it helps. And again, it's part of that ugly kind of style to win, but that's what Minnesota's been successful. And now Smith does have a 70-yard run this year at Maryland. He had not broken a long run in his career. Now it's just, you know, he's just in his second full season. He also has a kick return from a couple of weeks ago against Rutgers. So he does have the capability of going long, but he really is, you know, a guy that does not go down on first contact, and he's not a huge guy. He's not a bruiser per se, and he's got a little, you know, lateral quickness to him. So, he's his own guy, but I think results-wise, he reminds me of Cobb in that way, and that, you know, four becomes six, and eight becomes 10, and minus one, which might be as important as anything, minus two becomes plus one or plus four, and those things can change drives.
Two anchors that run defense for Minnesota, and who's been the key to the turnover margin, plus 15 on the season, and it's been just pretty opportunistic. Kind of do that math for me on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, Steve Richardson is their best defensive tackle, and he's healthy this year. He played through a bunch of injuries last year, and numbers-wise was not very productive. He's drawing double teams now this year because he's been so effective and so dominant. And when he does that, that frees it up for some other guys up front. So their defensive line play is incrementally better than it was a year ago, way better. That's probably the number one difference. They forced fumbles. They've gotten more sacks this year already than they did for all of last year. Now, they're still not eye-popping sack numbers, but they are pressuring the quarterback better. And then Demaryius Travis is a safety. He's got an interception this year, and he's kind of the fifth-year senior that directs everybody. And they've picked and choose their spots, so to speak, to get some interceptions. And then the part of that turnover margin, the defense is clearly the strength of this team, in my opinion. They've been very good. But I do think part of the turnover margin is they haven't given the ball up much. They have thrown a few interceptions. They haven't coughed it up fumble-wise. Brooks and Smith are pretty secure with the football, and those are all part of it. And, you know, this team has really taken advantage of that. They're big plus numbers and points off turnovers, and as you mentioned, just raw plus turnover margin. And I think they'd even be better at the, for sure, in the Iowa and Penn State game. They would have chances to win those, but the penalty situation has been really bad. Minnesota's been one of the top two penalized teams in the Big Ten, and the real frustrating angle, Chris, of that is a lot of it's pre-snap and post-snap stuff. They've had motions, illegal formations, you know, those frustrating things that make a coach pull his hair out. They've lessened that in recent weeks, and clearly in the last 3 weeks coming up, they're going to have to play much more mistake-free from that standpoint, while also trying to keep that turnover margin in a positive way.
Gopher play-by-play man Mike Graham. Lastly, Mike, what do you anticipate from Nebraska mentally? Do you think Minnesota's getting Nebraska at a good time? Do you think Nebraska is going to be able to move on from that beatdown last Saturday?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt Nebraska will be ready to play. I mean, they're going to want to have that thing flushed from last week. And, you know, sometimes it just is, you know, every team has them. You just have one of those nights where I don't know if Coach Riley showed them film of that or not. Sometimes the culture just say, let's flush it and forget about it. We know that was a bad game and we'll move on. I don't think there's any doubt Mike Riley will have that team ready. It's a nighttime game. I think Lincoln will be ready. The Big Red will be ready.
Mike, we'll see you Saturday night. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You got it. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. We're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Well, we're alive and awake. No night-night time yet. Thanks to Mike Grimm, play-by-play man of the Gophers, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Greg Smith this morning on Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp coming up. You know, a lot of good stuff from Mike on Minnesota. The D-line's better. Leidner's been in a bit of a slump, but the run game has been pretty incredible. And this is where the crowd comes in tonight, Kranak. Minnesota usually pretty disciplined, not the case this season. And while Penn State is a pretty crazy and loud environment, that wasn't a night game. That was an afternoon game, if memory serves. And that prohibited a 13-3 halftime, just stupid penalties, drive-killing mistakes from Minnesota ending that game in regulation. Tonight, the crowd's got to be on it. And let's get into that for just a second. The Nebraska fan base can influence this thing. You always have an opportunity to make the environment so rough for the opponent that it needs to kind of come back to life tonight to increase Nebraska's chances, because you get a team in here that hasn't fared well or focused enough. They've been distracted. They've been put off their game from just a mental standpoint with cadence and snap counts and all of that on offense.
Go on, expand on that a little bit.
Well, I'm saying Minnesota's history here says they've had issues with snap counts, pre-snap penalties, and some of that's not been on the road. Some of that's been at home for them.
Yeah.
But why not kind of up the ante a bit from a difficulty standpoint if you're the fan base, if you're Nebraska? I mean, I know I didn't Michigan State ranked number 5 coming in, but it's a night game. You love them as a fan. And you can be effective, and you can have major effect on Minnesota and what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean,
from a rhythm, from a rhythm standpoint, getting into rhythm, getting into flow, having a comfort zone, make it uncomfortable, and you have that opportunity tonight if you're a Nebraska fan.
You know, the Nebraska crowd is always interesting, because I think Nebraska is really good when they smell. Nebraska fans are great when they smell blood in the water.
Yes.
But if they don't, the place is a library. You know what
Sometimes
I'm saying?
Sometimes there needs to be things to cheer about. I hear you.
Yeah, it's like Death Valley, for instance. They're just crazy and drunk and Cajun, like through and through. It is nuts the entire game at night. Nebraskans are sort of like, well, show me something. Give me a reason.
Entertain
why.
Me.
Right. Give me a reason why I should start screaming and freaking out, because otherwise that place gets really quiet. And so it'll be critical for Nebraska to get Minnesota off schedule. They are an on-schedule team. That's how they roll offensively. They're cool with 3 or 4 yards on first down, because then they'll try to get 3 or 4 yards on second down and then barely eke out a first down on the third play. They're totally fine with that. They are not going to abandon the running game, even if it's not working. They're just not doing it. Look, the last 3 games, Minnesota's averaging like 19 passes. You know what I'm saying? Like they're going to run the ball 45 to 55 times, just flat out. That's what's going to happen. So is Nebraska ready for that? Can they withstand that? You know, let's keep this in mind too. You know, we talk about, you know, mentally where Nebraska is at, but physically too, where are they at defensively? You know, you go against Wisconsin, super physical game, wears on you. Then you go into Ohio State,
physical.
It's not exactly you know, powder puff football going on. You know, and it's cold. It's November. It's been a long year. You just got completely embarrassed. I mean. This is the type of game where you have to shake it off and just keep playing hard the whole game.
Here's the thing.
You can't relax in a game like this. You can't.
I don't think these guys are just gonna keep coming at you. I don't think that's been a problem from a relaxation standpoint. If you're one of those big dudes on the defensive line or you're on the offensive line, these are the games you live for, because it is on you to be tougher than the guy lined up across from you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you play.
Yeah,
that's why Perella's coaching. I mean, this is a straight up John Perella football game.
Yeah, it is. It is. No, and Nebraska was just. I mean, there's so much we could get into about Ohio State, but
well,
I just get the sense though that people are expecting that the reset button is now hit, and it's I'm like where, why, what gives you that confidence? Like, despite all the evidence to the contrary, what gives you the confidence that Nebraska is just going to be able to flip the switch?
I think a lot of it's opponent. And I think there's lack of respect for the opponent from the fan base, the folks who watch and follow Nebraska football. As bad as last Saturday was, and again, there's no logic to this. It's just a superiority complex. You're Nebraska, they're Minnesota. Not going to be easy, but you still should win. And I know Minnesota's 2-3 against Nebraska. They won 2 years ago here. They're down 21-7 at half and won 24-21. I mean, they have done everything from a resume standpoint to make you freak out about this game. But I think you feel a little more confident than last year's last year, but you went up there and smacked them. And there's no reason to think you can't do it again other than the Christmas list of evidence you've laid out 20 minutes
ago. Other
than
the fact that you've not blocked anybody in a month.
You've had different combinations blocking the last 2 weeks.
But so today it's solid.
It's got to be better because you have better players starting.
And they're ready to go. And we know that.
Well, that they wouldn't they wouldn't have been given the nod if they didn't show it in practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I hope so. But it sounds very wishful to me. Is Farmer 100% ready to go? Okay. All right, we'll see. Conrad ready to man the tackle spot? Okay. Nick Gates fully healthy? Sweet. Show me.
There's no the answer is no to all of those. Is Nick Gates fully healthy? No.
No, right.
Is Tanner Farmer fully healthy? No. But he's better than he's been. He's good enough to go, and he's a massive upgrade, even at 75%, to what they have had.
Here's the other thing I want to see. I'm not going to blame this on newbie, but I think you have to start getting you have to get a little more creative. All of our eyes tell us, in the limited snaps that Wilbon has gotten, that he probably deserves more, right?
He should stay in for a second consecutive carry after getting eight.
Did you see his body language after he got
leaked? Pissed. Yeah.
Like when you're going against athletes like that against Ohio State, you sort of have to match them with athletes,
or get in rhythm. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Get in a little lather. Hour one is done. That's Mark Kranek. I'm Chris Schmidt. Greg Smith, kind enough to join us this morning. As we move towards hour two, we'll get into some Minnesota-Nebraska thoughts. Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp, as hour two just ahead. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranek.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you back. Hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek, Greg Smith in today. And coming up, Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse. And up now with HailVarsity.com magazine, Brandon Vogel with us on the program. Vogues, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Getting text message questions. Is Tommy a go? I'm like, listen, no official announcement, but if Brandon Vogel were to give me a percentage, we're going to call you Dr. Vogel for a second.
No, thank you.
Doctor, he's good, don't you think?
Yeah, 95%, I would say. I would be very surprised if he doesn't play. That's not based on any actual medical insider knowledge of the situation, but just given the way Mike Riley talked about him, given the way that he was able to sort of be involved this week, I think he plays, and that is, of course, good news for Nebraska.
So your degree is a PhD, not a medical. Okay, just asking, just getting that cleared up. So we'll bring Kranach, are you back with us? Yes,
I'm back, man.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
Back.
Vogues, I want to know what your kind of gut is on this game, because Kranach is he's made some very, very poignant thoughts regarding just why are you confident? This thing doesn't smell or look good based on how the trends have gone. How are you feeling going in?
I would say cautiously optimistic that Nebraska wins. I mean, it's Minnesota, and they look exactly sort of like Minnesota has looked over the last 3-4 years. They've got a good running back. They've got a veteran quarterback. They'll stop the run. They play great in terms of field position. They've got a good kicker. You know, it's sort of all the small things that you can add up. And if you have timely interceptions, you know, forced turnovers, well, then all of a sudden you're 7-2, and nobody was really expecting that much out of you. That's Minnesota this year. So, like a lot of previous games that Nebraska's played against them, that's kind of what I'm expecting. I do sort of expect Nebraska to come back and bounce back from being, you know, humiliated to a degree last week.
See, okay, that's sort of where I'm having a little issue, is it just seems like wishful. And I know you're not like super fan guy being wishful here, but I'm just saying it's like there is almost no evidence over the past month to suggest that Nebraska is going to play a really good game of football on both sides enough to beat a team like Minnesota. Like what gives you that impression that they will, considering how the last month has gone?
Well, I think for me, I can check off the defense. Like, defense got, you know, beat up pretty good last week against some pretty good players for Ohio State. But prior to that, like, you know, they had done all the things they needed to do. Prevented big gains, prevented scores when they got down in the red zone, got off field on third down. But that's a good recipe. It allows you to give up some yards, and that's kind of where Nebraska's at. It can do that against this Minnesota team. It's got to stop the run. That's the question mark that I do have in this particular matchup, but I think it'll get that done enough. This offense isn't particularly explosive. If you make them drive long fields, well, Minnesota hasn't really had to do that yet. I think that's a big key coming into this one. Offensively, I do take a little solace in the fact that, you know, the offensive line is sort of back.
Is it though? That's they're so. For some reason, this week everybody's sort of like light switch. Oh, they're all healthy now. Everything's good. Like they are. Like, what do you mean? They just magically healed after Ohio State? What?
Well, I mean, I think the real key there, as much as getting Foster back, like that's just a bonus. It's Farmer. It kind of evens you out, I think. So you can feel pretty good about two guys on each side. And then Cole Conrad, you know, has played really, really well these past couple of games, which kind of came out of nowhere. So I think they'll be okay in that regard. I think the offense, it'll be like Illinois. It'll be like Purdue. I think the offense will be able to play at least at that level. And against this Minnesota team, I think that's good enough to get the win.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. To second your point on the O-line, I think the fact that you're going to have options between Utter and between Gates is helpful, don't you? I mean, I think that's where that middle left side of the line has struggled from time to time. And if it struggles initially, and I'm not saying it's going to be Foster that starts, but you'll be able to see if he can give you some snaps. You've had to throw Whitaker in in place of Farmer. And presumably you can move Whitaker, if there are struggles on that left side, over to the left side. So I think you have more, to play with. And it's not just going to be on Gates. Okay. It's not just, Nick, go block the other four to five guys. And by the way, take care of the guy bringing pressure off the edge with a bad ankle. It's got to be better than it's been because these guys are healthier and you have your starters playing, not your backups.
Yeah, and like you said, I think the real key there is you have some options instead of, in the past couple of weeks, it felt a lot of times like if one of Nebraska's starters on the offensive line went down, there was one backup total that was going to just have to play whatever position it happened to be that they needed somebody at. So, yeah, I mean, I think there are reasons to be – well, here's the best way to put it, I guess. You could sense with the coaching staff this week that they felt a little bit of relief in terms of what they were looking at with the offensive line. I'm sort of feeling the same things.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Don't want to dwell on it too much. And on HailVarsity.com on the forum, kind of have a little thread going there. And you went and cataloged Nebraska's performance in big games. Big games against, I guess, contemporaries, all-time blue blood type programs since 02. And it's not good. It's not a pretty picture, obviously. What I'm wondering here is, out of all those blue bloods, Michigan's, USC, Texas, Ohio State, Notre Dame, those types, have any of them struggled that bad for that long, sort of against each other? You know what I mean? It just seems like Nebraska gets blown out with more frequency than any of those other blue bloods. And this now spans through four coaching staffs.
Yeah, it does. I mean, my gut reaction is to play it safe and say probably. But it's hard for me to recall. I mean, Texas sort of had like a lost decade. In the 80s, Oklahoma, obviously, after the sanctions and Switzer left, really kind of dropped off for most of the 1990s. But Nebraska, so I went back and looked at, like you said, those sort of blue blood games, like the games that Ohio State was. So Nebraska and Ohio State, both in the top 10, historically, those programs are considered to be on even footing. Going back and looking for those type of games, and you only get maybe like one every 2 years with the way scheduling works now. Right. Nebraska hasn't won any of them. I mean, I think you have to go all the way back to 2001 Oklahoma to find a real true example of that kind of game where the stakes were super high and Nebraska won.
And both teams were good. I think that's an important distinction. Like Nebraska did beat Ohio State in, what was that, 2010?
11.
2011. Yep. But obviously that was Ohio State's worst year in the past couple years. So the distinction being, when both teams are good, both teams are ranked high, that Nebraska doesn't ever win those. Usually they get smoked.
Yeah. And that's the tough one to really explain away is how have they been such big failings on the biggest stage. I mean, so Nebraska, I think, has three top 10 wins since then, Missouri and Michigan State twice. And those are programs where, like, you're not getting that boost of beating Missouri. It's a good win. I mean, I remember people, being really hyped up and pretty nervous for that Missouri game when they came in because I think they were 7. And Nebraska just really kind of took it to them and beat them on the ground. But those Michigan State ones, no disrespect to any of those programs, but it's not Ohio State. It's not that sort of game where, if Nebraska in 2009 ends up beating Texas, not only is it a conference championship game, it's evidence that you sort of went in and hung with the team that was eventually going to play for a national title, and not just hung with them, beat them. They just haven't been able to take that final step. Sometimes it's been a heartbreaker, often against Texas, but a lot of times it has been those blowout games.
the thing that needs to happen, and it's obvious, and but it's going to be a topic of conversation, and it's going to be the noise around teams, is that breakthrough win. And you guys are right, and Kranak, you went right where I wanted to go with the Hail Varsity Premium message board thread regarding those big losses with peer programs, or at least the Blue Bloods. And I'm just wondering when it's going to happen for Nebraska, where it's on the road or it's at home against an Ohio State, or it's Oklahoma. You know, they're a non-conference team, but that's not till 2021, 2020. Until it happens, I have a what are you going to do as a team and a player when you face those moments? Because that was a real issue last Saturday. I mean, Kranak, you kind of touched on it with, you know, what are you going back to rely upon as a player in these big moments? Because you haven't ever conquered the dragon.
Yeah, I mean, and the tough part about it is I think it's a little bit of a uniquely Nebraska problem,
right?
In that you know, even if it's the first time you've played one of those games in your career, if you're a sophomore and you didn't have one as a freshman, you sort of know, it just kind of seeps into you that, okay, this is supposed to be a game between equals. You get down 21-3 early, for example, some of that self-doubt, I think, probably has to kind of creep in, because it's not just a matter of sort of, I mean, you would think over that span, you could get lucky once and just get one done. You know, I mean, Northwestern almost beat Ohio State the week before, and pretty much the exact same setting that Nebraska faced them in. So it seems improbable. And I think it probably is, but you kind of get into the spot where, if it does have an effect on sort of the teams, how it's talking to itself, how it's thinking, it becomes tougher, I think, after each one to then go out and do it again the next time.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I don't bring this up as an indictment on Newby, because I think Newby has played the best football of his career this year. And obviously Nebraska's had struggles on the offensive line, so it's not been easy for him. But the very limited snaps that we've seen Wilbon, don't you find yourself sitting there saying, give him the ball again, give him the ball more often, right? Like, he looks like he brings something different, but he doesn't, they don't really give him a shot. I mean, where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think it's still clear from his usage that the trust just isn't quite there. He was in on the play against Oregon, you know, all of those things, but I think it's more of a practice thing. But you can't even sort of quantify it with a weird Football Outsider stat called highlight yards, which is just how many yards running backs are gaining after the first five, which is sort of considered conventional run. And Wilbon does lead the team in that. He's not got a huge edge on Newby, but he does have an edge. Doesn't have a ton of carries either. So, you know, if you were to see more, it probably balances out a little bit. But right now, yeah, what you're seeing is sort of reflected in that stat. It's hard to describe, but I mean, I think when people see it, they get the same feeling. He just kind of has a knack for it. Like, you know, Amir was a guy that every run felt like it went about 2 yards more than it should have, no matter where it was, if it was 55 yards or if it was 5 yards. Wilbon's got a little bit of that in him.
Yeah,
he looked like he was even playing at a different speed against Ohio State. Maybe that was just design of the play or whatever, but that 9-yard run along the right side, it was, you know, you just find yourself sitting there like, I trust or not, you're just kind of like, yeah, play him. Give him the ball.
No, I mean, just when he came in last week, I kind of said to myself, like, oh, I was like, he's coming in and he's like, screw this. I'm going to go out here and go head to head with these guys, and I'm going to make something happen. Didn't see a whole lot of that last week, but you did see it in limited opportunities from Wilbon.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine @BrandonLVogel on Twitter. Vogues, as we say goodbye here, the biggest key for a Nebraska win today is what?
I think it really might be field position. You know, quarterback play, all interceptions, all the usual stuff. But Minnesota, in three out of its last four games, is our average starting field position of 40-yard line.
That's sick.
Which is insane. Yeah, they needed 40-yard line and plus one in turnovers to beat Rutgers a couple of weeks back. So keep an eye on those short fields. You know, field position is a good measure of sort of the overall how you're playing as a team. It's not just punting, but that one will be big.
Vogues, we'll catch up next week. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
All right, guys. Take care.
Awesome. So, again, I felt like, the O-line will be okay. They'll get it done tonight. He just made my point. They needed the plus one in turnovers, and they started at the 40 to put up 35 against the fighting Tony Sopranos.
Listen, here's the thing with Rutgers, though.
I'm putting the house on Nebraska today.
I almost throw any game against Rutgers out because you know that their opponent...
Especially their opponent if you're at home and you win 35-33. I'd burn that thing, too.
Whoever plays Rutgers will never be up emotionally ready to go. Yeah, it's just throw any game against Rutgers.
That's the Scarlet Knight's secret.
Yeah, right.
They play possum so well.
But you know what I mean. It just no one gets up for that game. So you just throw that one out. But you look at how they competed with Penn State. It's pretty close in that game.
Should have won.
In a tough place to play. And Penn, right. Yeah. It's just, you know, I look, Minnesota is a very competent team. They're just competent. They're not, they don't blow you away. They won't scare you necessarily, but they're a tough out. They will foul off seven or eight pitches every at bat.
There we have it. All right. Well, we'll get Gary Sharp's thoughts here shortly on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Want to remind you, I mean, it's a night game, so you have time today to go see your friends at Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick. That 1-carat diamond, still available. Select 1-carat diamonds, just $100 a month. That's an amazingly low payment when we talk about diamonds and diamonds the size that are a 1-carat selection. Limited time offer with approved credit, so maybe there's a birthday or anniversary, and we are a month away from the month of December, not even. A little holiday shopping done early. Go see Rick, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west with your friends at Sauter Heyman in Grand Island. Can log on, sauterheyman.com, yourbestring.com. You don't want to miss out on this select 1-carat diamond opportunity, just $100 a month. A quick timeout. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp next.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
To it, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, Greg Smith, kind enough to produce an engineer today, TJ Henning. Well, he's mad at us. I'm going to throw a flag here, Kranach, for taunting on social media by the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp.
Well, what happened? I missed it. What happened?
Well, he says, let's talk some ball, y'all. Says these November games are off, live from Santa Monica. Palm trees and beauty. Gary Sharp. Sharpie, is that true you're out west or are you just messing with me?
No, I'm in Santa Barbara, California.
Because you can? What's up?
I have some basketball season has started, so I'm doing... I've turned in my helmet for a basketball today.
Well, give me a weather report in Santa Monica.
You know what? It's really kind of... You know what? It hits you.
Sorry.
It hits you when you get off the plane in LAX and you make the drive up here to Santa Barbara that it's... You know, it's like the second weekend in November, and it's 85. I mean, it's a little bit warm. It really is.
The struggle.
Yeah. Sharpie. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be, it'll get colder, just like it will in Lincoln tonight. When the sun goes down, it'll get colder. When the sun goes down here in Southern California, it'll get colder. So we are kind of in similar situations.
Yeah. Santa Barbara, Lincoln. Now, I will say this. The fall has been immaculate. It's been beautiful. It's been incredible. A little bit chilly last night, but I mean, you'll still take Low 50s in November in Lincoln and Omaha, I would assume.
Remember the biggest hang-up was the Big Ten wouldn't play primetime November games because it was going to be way too cold. Now, you know, we've gotten lucky, but look at last week in Columbus, in Iowa City. It's going to be pleasant tonight. It'll be pleasant in Lincoln. I mean, this is I love primetime November Big Ten football. And, you know, when you had these two games on the schedule back in the middle of the summer, we thought, wow, this could be these are two really, really big games, mm-hmm. especially Michigan and Iowa. You're thinking, wow, there's two teams that will be at the top of their division. But I still believe that for those four teams, and in particular the two they'll play in Lincoln tonight, it is vitally important this weekend. There's such a – it's a, I know it's only one game, so all the mathematicians can stop tweeting. 8-2 to 7-3 is a huge difference right now for Nebraska. If you're 7-3, you're thinking, what happened to the November magic of last year, and did we hit the wall? If you're 8-2, nice rebound against a team that's going to challenge you tonight, and you still are keeping hopes alive, not only to win the West, but you could have a 10-2 season. Heck, you could even have an 11-2 season, which no one predicted before the year began.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Gary, I remember several years ago on this show, you didn't take me to task for it, but you did. You did call me on my maybe being dramatic when I said that Minnesota was sort of a sleeping giant, right? Because you know they have access. Yeah. They have one of the best cities in the Big Ten to recruit to. They have a pretty sizable athletic department. They have a decent recruiting base. They have they had Jerry Kill at the time, who had a very readily identifiable identity. They're not a sleeping giant. They're not an elite program, but they're always there, right? Like they're always competent. Is that the sort of, do you feel like this is a good, it's good timing for Nebraska to play against a team like that? I don't think it is. I think you come in with a team that is so sure of itself on every side of the ball. They know exactly what they want to do. It's no secret. And Nebraska's reeling. I don't like the combination tonight.
Well, I think we've all digested what happened on Saturday in Columbus. And I think you won't know the true meaning of last week until about 9:45 tonight when this game is over, because you can't let Ohio State beat you. Like Wisconsin, I mean, that game last week was probably lost before Nebraska got on the plane just because of the time it took to get over the Wisconsin game. Then you have to prepare for Ohio State, and guys got caught up in the setting, and it was Katie bar the door. Minnesota, I remember that conversation, and good on you and good on Jerry Kill for establishing a foundation. Now, Tracy Clays is a guy that's been under a lot of heat. He's got a brand-new athletic director. He's got a very small contract. He's a football lifer. He's a large guy, so we all kind of scrutinize large football coaches on their physical appearance and not their football acumen. But you're absolutely right. Minnesota knows what they want to do. Minnesota's not super flashy. They'll send guys to the league. They have a quarterback that today or tonight will start his ninth time against Nebraska, Mitch Leidner. They went Ricky Foggy to Mitch Leidner. It's really incredible what's happened in Minnesota with only two quarterbacks in the last, like, 35-plus years. But they run the football, they stop the run, and they're opportunistic. And you look at those elements, and then you look at what Nebraska has struggled with since we flipped the calendar to October. Yeah, it makes you a little bit uncomfortable, but I think you're absolutely right, Mark. Playing a team like Minnesota, where Minnesota's gotten to the stage where nobody says, boy, Minnesota's going to win the West. But Minnesota is a team, when they show up on your schedule, you got to pay attention to. You can't overlook them. I think not only Nebraska wants to get the bad taste out of their mouth, but remember, as crazy as it is, Minnesota has owned Nebraska in their own stadium. So if as a senior, if that doesn't sit with you, among the other things, that you don't want the season to go south, I don't know what does. I think this is a really, really intriguing game tonight. But I think you're right, Mark. Off the heels of 62-3, it comes at the right point. Because if it's Maryland or Purdue coming in here, then you're like, uh-oh, this could beat you again because of a team that you immediately think will just roll the helmets out there and be able to win.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, your thoughts on Tommy Armstrong's participation tonight?
Well, I mean, he's there to start. He's there to play. I think he'll be fine. You know, he doesn't need the physical stuff all week. He's gotten the mental reps. I think it'll be a nice burst for Nebraska. But whether Tommy Armstrong's there or not, guys, people have to find a way to become more consistent, whether it be completing in the short passing game, whether it be the offensive line up front on inside zone, making the right first step, the right punch, running the right play, getting the right call. You know, it's not on one guy. It's been that whole offense that has really been out of sync. And I know the offensive line has taken a lot of brunt of it, and rightfully so in some areas, because they have not been as efficient. And I know when you're changing bodies up there, the guy next to you is not somebody you're familiar with, that can be rough. But Nebraska has to find a day to graft consistency, to stay on the field on third down, to be able to move the football again. And, boy, did Gerald Foster and that little jolt come along at the right time. Guy that, you know, maybe you say going into tonight might only get a couple of series, and the next thing you know, he might be out there in the fourth quarter. You know, if he's a healer, he'll put his hand on ankles of Nick Gates and some other injuries, and he'll heal him. But just the mere fact that he's going to be on the field to give a guy a spell or two, I think is fantastic. I think Nebraska gets a nice little emotional burst tonight under the lights. Tommy Armstrong is back, and then a guy like Gerald Foster, who is a heck of a person, for him to get back like he did, that's exactly what Nebraska needs. But it doesn't cure all. Nebraska's got to fix the X's and O's and execution first.
Gary Sharp with this, Hail Varsity Radio. If you could pick one facet of football for Nebraska to reverse that trend of getting blown out by blue bloods on big stages, if you could change kind of one thing about the program, I would go with just put all your eggs in the offensive line basket. Get great there. If you could pick one thing, what would be your one thing?
Well, I like where you're going, Mark, because that you can cure a lot of ills if you have offensive linemen that just mow people down, that open up gaping holes where you don't necessarily need an eraser in the backfield like an Amir Abdullah. You have guys that have gigantic holes, and that is not only from the standpoint of winning and losing on the offensive line, but also the mental standpoint. If you're a defensive lineman or linebacker and you know you've got five hog mollies that are on you all the time, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. You know, I think that would cure a lot of things. And you've seen that in recruiting. As Nebraska knows, they have to be better, and they have to get more depth. I think everybody talked about recruiting this week, about all the 4 and 5 stars in Ohio State and what Nebraska's doing. At least Nebraska, you've got to feel that they've addressed it and they're moving forward, and maybe you could have seen something like that, the discrepancy in talent. Here's where Nebraska's next step is in getting back to where they would love to be, is you not only have to recruit those 4 and 5 stars, but to keep recruiting them. Look at Ohio State. What are you doing during the week in Columbus? You're practicing against 4 and 5-star guys. You've got a 4-star guy behind you when you were a 5-star guy in high school. That's what needs to happen next, is to build the depth. But definitely on that offensive line, there is a bright future there. You just have to hold on tight for the guys that are remaining, because there aren't many of them right now on that offensive line.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, from a game plan standpoint, and we're going to go forward like Tommy is starting, do you think they'll emphasize some of those runs? Obviously, they talked about identity-type runs that they'll lean on, a couple that work. Or do you see the game plan slash best way to score on Minnesota similar to last year, where they try and go up top, they try and go downtown a little bit, just because that is the Achilles heel with this Minnesota defense? They're good stopping the run, but they give up plays downfield.
Well, I didn't think I would say this, but I think if Nebraska's playing tonight in a phone booth where it's right there in the line of scrimmage, I don't like Nebraska's chances. But if you do go back, Schmitty, to that game against Minnesota, there was very much a variety to Danny Langsdorff's play calling, and there were a lot of people involved in that game offensively. Demorne Pearsonell had his one breakout game last year after battling injuries. Remember, Seethan Carter that was the game after the beginning of last year where Seethan was on the sidelines. Seethan that was his welcoming out party for 2015. There was a lot of variety. Newby had a big day. But the key in that game is we fretted all week about going to Minneapolis and beating this Minnesota team. Nebraska got on them early, and it forced Leidner to throw the football. If Nebraska can do that tonight, they can have some variety in the offensive game plan. If they can complete some passes, if guys can make plays, if Tommy's on point, if Stanley Morgan can make a catch and not have it go off his hands, if guys can get 4, 5, 6 yards running the football, stay on the field on third down, get a lead early and force Minnesota to pass, that's the perfect game plan you want. But if the game is tight and Minnesota's able to keep it in the phone booth and run the football, and they're able to stay on the field on third down, and you're not able to complete some of those third down conversions like third and short, where Nebraska had opportunities either to stay on the field or get off the field last Saturday night, buckle up, boys, because it's going to be a four-quarter football game, and there'll be a tension convention in Memorial Stadium late night tonight.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Let's talk a little bit about DJ Foster. You mentioned the spark that he's potentially given the offensive line just by virtue of coming back from the injury. And you and your partner, Damon Benning, in the mornings have for, you know, all going back to last year, were calling for this guy to get a lot more playing time. Most fans have not seen him. The guy's taken, like, what, 10 snaps or something like that. He's has zero experience. Yet he's sort of lauded as this guy that can maybe help stabilize and improve Nebraska's production on the O-line. What did you and or Damon see out of him that fans have not yet seen?
Well,
and what can we expect if he is good to go?
Well, you're right on the rust. I mean, this is a guy that hasn't played much football since he left Lincoln Southeast. The one thing you notice right away, and I watched this a lot in fall camp when he was solidifying his starting spot at left guard, he is very explosive on his first step. He's a very confident guy. When the ball is snapped, he knows exactly where he's going. And for people that like offensive line play, tonight might be a little bit rough to judge him on because he's going to have some rust. But watch him as he goes through his career. He is very much a tactician when it comes to offensive line play with his feet. I mean, he makes the first step. He's got a nice punch. He's got some nice movement. Remember, we were talking that left side of the Nebraska line was going to be filthy with him and Gates. I really like a lot of things he does. He's probably a coach's dream as an offensive lineman because of his technique. And he's finally shored that up. That's what kept him off the field last year. He wasn't as sound, and he let some little things bother him. Well, he got that all dialed in and got himself a starting spot. I think if you can get, man, if you can get 20 plays out of him tonight, great. But if, you know, you get 20 and he still feels good and things are rolling along, then maybe you add another 10 to it. But he definitely will be, he'll definitely be a spark. But he's a guy that probably, if you go towards next year on the offensive line, he's probably a guy that is going to be one of your starters, and you have Nick Gates as one of your starters and three spots open. Another guy on the offensive line tonight to watch, Cole Conrad.
Mm-hmm.
I know he gets knocked a little bit. He's still ramping it up. You know, wasn't expected to play a lot of football. Cole Conrad, I think, is going to be a pretty good offensive lineman. So watch him tonight playing out on right tackle, where that spot has been not very good this year for Nebraska.
Lastly, where does a guy in Santa Monica, Santa Barbara, I'll get that right. Where's a guy in Santa Barbara watch college football?
Well, I think there's plenty of places out here. It's all Pac-12, though. But there's a good contingent of you know, Nebraska fans out here. I'm sure I will find a place. I will actually, when the game kicks off, I will be in back in Los Angeles. So
okay,
maybe In and Out Burger or something like that.
Hey, by the way, quick, Gary. So you do games for Nebraska Omaha. They play an exciting brand of basketball. I just pulled up their roster. They got a big chunk of their production coming back. How do you think they? They got a shot at a tourney bid this year.
I think they will. They'll actually play faster than they did last year when they averaged 85 a game and they were fourth in the country. They've got some intriguing pieces. They'll shoot the ball a lot better than they did last year. They want to finish everything at the rim. But yeah, they play an exciting brand, but they're in a situation where you've got to take some lumps and you got to have some money games. So they're actually playing three games in 4 days. Today here in Santa Barbara, tomorrow night against USC in Los Angeles, and then Tuesday in Manhattan against Kansas State. So they'll be good. I mean, the Summit League is a nice mid-major conference that's starting to pick up some steam. But these guys would love to go to the NCAA tournament. It's only the second year they've been eligible for it. So we'll see. But it's a fun brand of basketball. You know, Omaha, they score 89 and they give up 88. But as long as they win by one, I guess.
So good for you. You're going from La La Land to Manhattan. Well done. One of our dear friends, Tim, who's listened to the show for a long time, said that he's going to make some calls for you. His brother is one of the baseball coaches at UCSB, so you got a spot tonight.
All right. I like. Well, you know what? They went to the College World Series this past summer.
Yes. Yes, they
did. I saw their field yesterday. Ooh, how in the heck did they make the College World Series out of that facility? I mean, good on Andrew Check. It's the head coach there. The facility is a little bit behind Haymarket Park, let's just say.
I bet. Sharpie, be good. Thanks for your time, bud. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, guys, as always.
Take care. Barry Sharp with us, season Santa Barbara. Never been. No,
look, I know there's not a lot of Maverick fans listening to us right now. I totally get that. But they've got some players, man.
I love the fact that they got a bunch of the Omaha Central kids just kicking butt for them.
Well, Tradeon Hollins, who led the country in steals last year.
Yep.
I mean, he is a next level defensive player, and he gets out in transition. Trayshawn Thurman's really good.
Both those kids are awesome.
Kyler Erickson is that crafty point. They've got some players, man. I could see them making a run and having a chance.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun for them to get the Summit League title. And I don't know who's great in the Summit League. I know North Dakota State's usually been okay, but. Yeah, good. But, you know, we'll get transitioned to some Nebraska basketball talk as well here. Jacob Padilla does an amazing job covering the Husker hoops. And you know what? A lot of excitement for Nebraska basketball. Minnesota, Nebraska tonight. Football to be played. We'll take one last time out and get ready. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Getting geared up, Nebraska, Minnesota. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. And if you haven't had a chance, sign up and check out HailVarsity.com and be a premium subscriber. Do that for 30 days. You will love it. Message boards, inside info when it comes to content, and just quite honestly, what you get with HailVarsity.com is beautiful. It's a great Nebraska community, in-depth analysis, and up-to-the-minute breaking news. 30-day free trial. Check it out, HailVarsity.com. Subscribe. And on HailVarsity.com, you see that Hail Varsity No Huddle. Kranak, Sharpie hit on it. You and I talked about it yesterday, the difference between 8-2 and 7-3. Now, there's a chance you'd be 7-3 going into this part of the schedule, based on your preconceived thoughts on how the season would go. Well, I think the bar has been raised a bit after the Wisconsin game, and that bar fell on both of our pinky toes after the Ohio State game. But Nebraska's played well enough against an elite team in Wisconsin to win games like this against Minnesota, win games against the teams that they're supposed to beat. Iowa's always kind of a coin flip, so you just can't assume that's going to be easy on the road, but you got to get this tonight. You got to get this one at home under the lights, and you got to bounce back and just, for lack of a better term, man up. Yeah. And be more physical than the Gophers.
We know it's improbable. It's improbable that Nebraska can win the West, but Wisconsin still has to play Minnesota too. And so they're playing sort of a mirror image of themselves in that game. And that's, you know, that game is likely not to be a high-scoring affair. That's probably going to be a one-possession type ball game. So it's not out of the realm. Nebraska gets this W and handles business the rest of the year. Minnesota upsets Wisconsin. Hey, look out, right? Like, Nebraska all of a sudden is going to Indy. But to keep that alive, they got to get a W today. So I don't know. It's the game worries me, though. It worries me. I have this sneaking suspicion that Nebraska has sort of like they're just out of gas,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I, you know, you think about what they've been through this year emotionally and physically and all that. It's been a pretty exhausting year for those guys. You know, it has. And now you're coming off two of your most physically exhausting games. The weather's turning, you know, your conference championship hopes are slim. I don't know, man.
You know, though, 10-2.
Wonder where those guys are at.
10-2 or better is still out there, and that to me would be huge because it's not like you just beat up on a bad team or a bunch of freak shows on your schedule. You will, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but Minnesota's going to have a 7-win at worst season. You don't sneeze at that. Northwestern, I don't know where they're going to end up, but they were a good football team this year. They got better. Oregon, nightmare, but you still got them. Okay? And then you didn't lose to Purdue. You didn't lose to Illinois. And I know that should not be uttered. Well, hey, you beat Illinois and you beat Purdue. This is in basketball. So you're back to, you beat Indiana on the road. I don't know where they're going to end up either, but they're probably heading to a bowl. Same with Iowa. So you, and then Wyoming looks pretty good now after they whacked Boise State.
Yeah,
so
they do.
You can kind of go back and look at 16. If they end up 10-2, say they dirty a bowl win. You know what I'm hoping? Not that I'm cheering, but I'm hoping Penn State stubs their toe today. And I hope Penn State stubs their toe again, because right now, if we're looking at bowl projections, assuming all things finish out the way you want them to, if you're a Nebraska fan, outside shot, even with that 62-3 thing on your resume, of maybe being Cotton Bowl bound. Things will have to work out where you win and some folks lose in front of you. But give me a New Year's Day bowl. Outback Bowl would be cool, too. And Holiday Bowls, not that I'm going to scoff at it because you were just in the Foster Farms, but get to the Cotton. That'd be great because the Big Ten's got enough cred right now to have a team in the playoff, team in the Rose Bowl, team in the Orange Bowl in Wisconsin, and then why not go get the Cotton Bowl? Kranak, I just took up your time there.
No, you didn't. You're fine.
Have a good evening, Mr. Kranak.
You too, sir. Let's go, man.
We'll talk next week. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time today on Hail Varsity.